This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Climate change, much in the news all the time, challenging the United Nations, COP26 in Glasgow, COP27 in Egypt. However, the question of what is to be done extends into thou shalt not. For example, thou shalt not use fossil fuel after such and such a date. Thou shalt not in any fashion endorse fracking. Thou shalt not. Well, it goes on. And I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing his column for the National Post, to comment on not only those who dissent from thou shalt not, but also major institutions are now changing slightly the song they've been singing for many years about climate change. For example, the leader of the largest bank in the solar system, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, was asked by a member of Congress, will he immediately stop investing in fossil fuel companies, enterprises? Jamie Dimon not only said no, he said that would be the road to Hades for America. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Suddenly, Jamie Dimon is dissenting from this trend towards banning fossil fuels. You've identified two men, Professor Burkhout and Mr. Kroc, who are leading voices in the doubt about what we're told is the inevitable end of the world unless. Who are they and what have they achieved so far? Good evening to you, Conrad.
Good evening to you, John. Well, first of all, I rejoice in Jamie Dimon coming to his senses politically because he was a sort of an Obama groupie. And this continued for a long time. And the last I heard from him before this week politically was he joined the chorus of these idiots complaining about Georgia's electoral voting and vote counting changes, which were designed to assure that as many people as possible would vote and as few votes as possible would be misappropriated or counterfeited. And it was a very sensible reform, but he got on this ridiculous bandwagon that the baseball All-Star game had to leave Atlanta, which they did, and went to Denver, which has more rigorous voting requirements and verification standards than Georgia. But look, we welcome the grace of conversion in all things, and particularly in politics right now. On the two Dutch gentlemen you mentioned, there is, as you said, a professor, a retired professor of environmental matters, and the Mr. Kroc is a prominent journalist in the Netherlands, and they have collaborated in this organization, Climate Intelligence, and they have rounded up 1,152 authentic experts on climate matters meteorology, who have signed an attestation that there is not now a climate emergency. I mean, everyone agrees we have to be vigilant. Everyone is opposed to pollution. I think most people would agree that somewhat odd things are happening in the climate, but we don't know what they are. They're not outside the normal cycles. We don't know if they're anthropogenic, caused by men or not. And we don't know what the best thing to do about them is, if there is anything that should be done. And he's sort of, in that old phrase of Bill Buckley, he's standing athwart events and saying, wait, let's just wait and see and you know, be vigilant and conduct research before we commit ourselves in ways that are self-damaging to societies. As you, if you shut down or drastically curtail the fossil fuel industries, you're going to raise prices for energy and energy, both fuel for your home and for vehicles, and you're going to lay off a lot of workers in those industries. So, you know, why do it if you're not sure or reason to be very confident it's the right thing to do? And they're having an impact. I mean, we all whatever our views of climate, I think, are tired of hearing that 99% of experts agree that we have to virtually shut down the fossil fuel industries now, or Manhattan will be underwater to a height of 50 feet, and unless we live in foothills somewhere, we're all going to be swimming for it. And this is basically the line that the new King of England has taken, and the former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, and other not perhaps quite as prominent people, but many of them, this idea of an existential threat, as President Biden said to the United Nations yesterday, this is bunk. There's no reason to believe that. I mean, but we certainly have to be vigilant about it, and that's what these people are saying, that let's not act out of panic, because that's never the right way to act, and there's no reason to panic at this point.
The puzzle for me, Conrad, is this claim that we must end fossil fuel investing now, in other words, make it impossible for the companies to go on as enterprises, as prosperous enterprises, at the same time that energy is the story. The challenge in Europe is to get through this winter and several more afterwards. And the only way that I understand that's possible is with fossil fuel, coal, as well as natural gas, as well as oil. And the new Prime Minister of Great Britain, Ms. Truss, has acknowledged as much right away that we need to reawaken the North Sea fields. We need to follow the fracking advice to provide for our peoples. We even need to look at nuclear. So all of this is happening at the same time. It's as if there are two different worlds. One is under great pressure because of the Russian attack, and the other is, well, what is this? It's like temperance for gas and oil. Unless you ban gas of natural gas and oil and fossil fuel forever, you're a villain. Is that how it's understood in Canada? Villains?
That's an argument being put forth by some people, but it's opposed by others. So I think we will, all of us who are sensible about this, have cause to rejoice in the exigencies of democracy, because whatever the public in general think about it, they're going to find the skyrocketing expenses that they have getting their vehicles to move and getting an adequate temperature in their homes to be so burdensome that they're going to reject this. I think straight domestic economics are going to come to our rescue through the democratic political process, and these mad theorists and alarmists who, I mean, Al Gore predicted an inconvenient truth, I think, was just after he left as vice president, so about 20 years ago. And by this time, Venice was supposed to be underwater. The island country in the Pacific, Tuvalu, was supposed to be completely underwater. The water levels haven't moved. I mean, it's all nonsense. Look, the things are happening, and we've got to be careful, and I'm not blasé about that. But this, this panic-stricken demand that we lash out in directions that are, which we have no assurance they'll provide any relief at all for the problem we're supposedly addressing, this is not sensible, and it's being put forth by this unholy coalition of naive but sincere environmentalists, former Marxists who lost the Cold War but are now assaulting capitalism in the guise of saving the planet, outright charlatans with ulterior motives, and power-mad techo freaks, sort of the Faucis of non-medical science, environmental science, and then this opportunists and charlatans like Al Gore. I credit him. Anyone who makes money legally deserves admiration. He's made a lot of money out of it, but it's, that doesn't make it accurate or even relevant to coming to the right policy decisions.
Conrad Black from the National Post. Again, I give the quote from Jamie Dimon, head of the largest bank I ever heard of, J.P. Morgan. asked whether he would stop investing in fossil fuels at his bank and recommend the same to his bankers. That would be the road to Hades for America, is the quote. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.